Folks, we'll commence this morning, please, with hymn number 620 on page 426. Church of God, beloved and chosen, Church of Christ for whom he died, claim thy gifts and praise thy giver, ye are washed and sanctified. 620, and we'll stand, please, as we sing. Please, let's unite our hearts as we lift our voices to him. Loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we come to thee this Sabbath morning in thy house in the wondrous name, the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless thee that this name, it destroys the devil's works. It drives back the power of hell. Satan trembles at the name of him in whom we dwell. Lord, we praise thee for the cross. We thank thee that the cross of Christ is all our boast, his blood our only plea. We know it is enough that Jesus died and can say personally, he died for me. And we thank thee that through the rent veil, Lord, we have boldness to come. We have the right to come. God bids us to come. And so with gladness, thanksgiving and worship, we come before thy throne. Thank you, Lord, for the wonder of the gospel message. How we praise thee that the Creator God, the one that made all things by the word of his power, that blessed God, Creator God, sent forth his Son. And the Lord Jesus stepped from eternity to time, lived among us a sinless life, died a vicarious death, and rose in triumph over the grave. And we thank thee that blessed Christ ascended, and he ever lives today to make intercession for us. And Lord, with thanksgiving and praise, we look forward to that moment when the trumpet will sound, when the Savior will come, when we will be with him. Lord, bless us today in thy house. We commit this gathering to thee. We pray that every need and every heart may be met this morning. Lord, we do pray for members of the church that can't be with us. We think of those that are led aside. We think of others that perhaps through infirmity of the flesh they can't be here, or old age. Lord, bless them all. Be their portion. We remember your servant who pastors this congregation. Lord, we pray for him and his wife that you'll bless them and encourage them in these days. And grant, Lord, that they will have the joy in future times of seeing multitudes of people come from this village and further afield to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. What we ask for Ballygowan, Lord, we ask for all of our churches. Oh, come, my God, and breathe revival into our worship services. Save the lost. Glorify the Savior. Be with us now. Close us in with yourself. O God, abide with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. 632. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. 632. We'll stand again, please, as we sing. Turning, please, in the New Testament to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 6, please. Acts chapter 6, a relatively short chapter, and we're only reading the first 7 verses. We're starting at verse 1. Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. And we do know the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his word for Jesus' sake. This stage of the service, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Stewart, to come, please, bring the necessary announcements. Thank you.
Well, again this morning, can we give you a very warm word of welcome in the Saviour's name? We're delighted again to see you out at the house of God, and we trust that the Lord will richly bless you as you join with us around his word. And if we have any visiting, can we bid you a special welcome in the Saviour's name. Also delighted to have as our guest preacher today, our brother, Reverend Trevor Baxter. And we, as always, enjoy our brother's ministry. And when he comes amongst us, it's nice to see him back with us again. And we trust that the Lord will richly bless him as he ministers the word of God today to us. Please remember the meeting in Bray Valley this afternoon, Bray Valley Nursing Home, at 3 p.m., and then this evening's gospel service is at 7 p.m., preceded by a season of prayer at 6:30. And the Reverend Baxter, God willing, will be back with us again this evening. The soloist will be Mrs. Ruth McRoberts. And we would encourage you to come out again this evening and come to the house of God. Don't just make it once in the Lord's Day, but we trust that you make the effort to get back out and bring others with you this evening. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. is our Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers meeting, and then the Awana meeting is at 6:45 tomorrow evening. On Tuesday evening from 7 o'clock through to 7:45, our children's meeting takes place. And then also on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. we have our missionary prayer meeting. And the focus will be on the work of the Free Presbyterian Youth Council this Tuesday evening, and our brother Johnny Garrett will be speaking at it, and he'll give a presentation, and the offering will go towards that work. Friday evening, our young people will be going to a youth rally down in Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church, believing the church here at 7 p.m., and if any of our young people are looking a lift, if they could see either Mark or Johnny about that today in order to make the necessary arrangements. Service is next Lord's Day at the usual times, Sunday school and Bible class at 10 a.m. and then morning worship at 11:30. And the preacher at both Lord's Day, both services next Lord's Day will be the Reverend Smiley in the morning. He'll be taking the subject, the Holy Spirit at work in the Acts of the Apostles. And then at 2:30 next Lord's Day, please do remember the meeting in Beachfield Nursing Home. in the afternoon also next Lord's Day at 3:30, there will be a prayer meeting for revival and for the gospel mission, and we'd ask you to remember that also. And then 7 p.m. will be the gospel evening service, and as we say, the Reverend Smiley will be preaching at that service also. The building fund last Lord's Day came to £2,884.88. I would like to thank you for your giving towards that. This morning, I have a book along with me. Mr. Barnes and Mr. Victor Maxwell have been involved in producing this book. It's entitled A Vessel Unto Honour, and it's in celebration of the life and ministry of Pastor Grosse, who, I think it's yesterday, he died 1 year ago yesterday. And this is brought out in the anniversary, at the anniversary of his death. It's only £5.95, which is a real bargain. So we would encourage you to get a copy of it and to read of the life of Pastor Grosse. Normally, our brother Robert would take or look after this, and he will do when he's back with us. But even if you want to give your name to myself, I'll make the necessary arrangements to get you a copy of the book. But please do take the opportunity to get a copy of this book. We'd like as a congregation to express our sympathy at this time to our brother and sister Bran and Sandra Hannah, and also to Mrs. Isa Burtney, Bran and Sandra's cousin and Isa's nephew, passed away. Drew Hannah passed away on Friday, and the funeral will be in Trinity Presbyterian Church at Board Mills on Monday at 2:30. We'd ask you to remember the family at this time. Drew was just in his early 50s, and it's a tragic death that has happened, and we'd ask you to continue to remember in prayer the family at this time. Also remember those that are sick at this time. I'd ask you to remember our brother Robert Catterson. He wasn't well through the week there, and he's back home again, but we trust that you'll remember him in prayer at this time. Also remember Brother Mervyn Barr's cousin who's ill, and also Mr. Billy Heron, and these are only some. I'm sure there are others that I've missed out on, but please do continue to remember them in prayer at this time. I think these are all the announcements.
Thank you very much indeed. It's always a joy to be with you in Ballygowan, and we're glad to be here today. I noticed the commendation of Mr. Barnes's book, and I can heartily concur with that. I helped him to write it, you see, and so I know it's good, because he had to consult me. He's not very good at the writing, and he got me, and I went and did it for him, and did it for nothing too, which is an amazing thing. Now, folks, if you believe that, you believe anything, but we do commend the book to you. We're glad to see. This is nearly like a presbytery encounter with the clergy that are here. Some men, you know, they say when they go to preach and ministers are in the meeting, they say, oh, that's terrible. And they get annoyed. I don't get annoyed. I just get raging mad, you know. And I'll tell you a story that's true. Many years ago, the Reverend John Wiley was taking a meeting way up the country, and another minister was there. I think it was Mr. Douglas. And Wiley said to the men, don't let him in. And of course, the men tried to concur with that. But if you know Mr. Douglas, you know that wouldn't be too easy to do. But Mr. Wiley insisted and insisted and insisted. And Mr. Douglas didn't come to the meeting. Now, I'm not dared not asked Mr. Barnes, Mr. Greenfield, or anybody to leave. We're glad to have everybody, and it's good to be with you. Now, we'll not be preaching for, of course I never do, for a very long time. Half of the family's coming for dinner, and I have to get away back to Tandragee as quick as I can, but we're going to sing the offering hymn just now, 640, page 434. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. Fit thy church to meet this hour. 640, we'll keep our seats for the offering hymn, please. Acts chapter 6, please. With our Bibles before us, could we bow for a moment in a word of prayer? Lord, we thank thee for the precious scriptures of truth. And we pray, Lord, as we look these moments into the page of scripture, the Lord will guide us, lead us, direct us, and help us meet the need in every heart. And even, Lord, if there be someone among us not saved, will you speak to them through thy truth? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, in the United States, on what they call Thanksgiving, it's very special time in America, the family of a preacher got together, a man who had been a pastor for over 40 years, and his son, who was also a preacher, and other family members. And the old man said to the young man, "Well, son, how goes the battle?" And he said, "You know, Dad, it really is a battle. I'm having difficulty in my church. We're not seeing anything of a move at the moment. The congregation are not increasing, they're dwindling, or we're losing people. I'm almost at my wit's end. He said, tell me this, Dad, what is it that really builds a church? What would I have to do to see a church build? And the old man took him to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. And he said, son, here are the only two things that God has to build his church. The apostles say we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. He said you must preach on and you must pray on. And if you honor God in those two things, he'll honor you. You see, folks, the Free Presbyterian Church was founded on those principles. I'm sure I've told it here before, but the Reverend S.B. Cook and some of us, including the brethren here, were men who S.B. was training in the what's called the art of preaching. I have a fancy name for it, homiletics. Don't ask me to spell it, but apparently that's what it means. It's how to preach. He often told us, I can't make you men preachers. I can only try to help you develop what's already there. But he always said this at the start of every year, at the beginning of the lectures, he said, you know, men, you have a number of classes to attend. And he says, I call those classes the ingredients. But he said, this class, this is where the cake is baked. This is where it's baked. You may have your theology, your church history, even your biblical knowledge, which is, of course, all very important. But it is preaching, primarily, as far as the minister's concerned in the pulpit, that's what matters most. And here we have the apostolic indicator. Preach the word. Pray. I remember a great preacher saying, when I heard preach, he said, you know, I have preached 16 times this week. But I would like to think of spent twice as long praying as I have preaching. And that certainly would put the emphasis on what we're saying. Folks, it's prayer. And for the congregation, that's a vital thing too, of course. And the word. We must not digress as a church, as a congregation, from the preaching of God's word. And from prayer. Me man in my church many years ago in Dungannon met a man he hadn't seen for years. And he said to him, tell me this, are you still saying your prayers? And this wee man said, would I tell you something? He said, I haven't been saying prayers since God saved me 40 years ago, but I've been praying. What a difference. And there is a difference. Let us never lose the emphasis on prayer and preaching. The apostles here in the Acts seemed to have their priorities a bit confused at times. They seemed to, it appeared like this, that they were neglecting the spiritual for the temporal. Verse 4, notice what they don't say. They don't say we will give ourselves to visitation, committee meetings, or singing, or any such thing like that. All important things. And all requirements in the work, yes. But that's not what they're saying, but the priority. It's the word. It's prayer. I want you to look at this just for a few minutes, and we assure you we'll not keep you too long. I want you to notice, first of all, that there's a problem here that was identified. Verse 1 tells us that the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now, that's not a problem. That's a blessing. But in the midst of this multiplication, if you like, in the midst of all this blessing, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You know, tragically, this is one of the great faults of many of God's people. They did it in the wilderness with Moses and Aaron. They're doing it here in the New Testament. And the real person they're attacking, as in the wilderness, so in the church, is the Lord. They're murmuring. There's a lot of murmuring in the work of God. And it's tragic. If you forget the priority, these things will creep in. I read a lovely quote of Andrew Bonner, and he said this: I passed 6 hours today in prayer and scripture reading, confessing sin and seeking blessing for myself and the church. Unquote. Surely this is the priority, folks. That word ministry that's in verse 4 here is an interesting one. It's from the same root from which we get the word deacon. And included in that, in the original, there's the word dust. Yes, dust. And the idea is raising dust in a hurry. In other words, being busy in the Lord's work of prayer and preaching. That's what it's about, you see. This preacher, and your own preacher, and this church, we need to be busy for God. In the word for our enlightenment, in prayer for our enablement. You know how important prayer is? Let me, it's a verse you'll know very well, of course. It's in the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to just find it so that I can read it to you, even though you probably do know the verse. It's 1 Samuel chapter 12, and it's the verse 23. Here's what he says. Moreover, as for me, this is Samuel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. What he's saying here is very significant. He's saying, if I don't pray for you people, I'm sinning. If the minister of the congregation ceases to pray for his people, he's committing sin. If the people don't pray for their pastor, they're sinning. Folks, that's clear enough. And I don't believe we would have half the problems in the work of God that we do have if the preacher and the people arrived at the same conclusion in this thing. You pray for him. He prays for you. That's what happens when blessing comes. Without that, you'll get murmuring. You'll get complaints. You'll get division. And the New Testament church, as we know, they didn't only have multiplication and addition and subtraction even. They had division. Oh, people can fall out so very easily. I know a place, I'll not mention its name today, and the church was completely split over making tea for a preacher. Now, I wasn't a preacher, by the way, but imagine that. dissension was so rife, the church divided. That ought not to be. Brother and sisters, that's a sin before God. Let's get to the priority, the vital thing, the preaching and the praying. A problem that was identified. There is here also a priority, of course, that was indicated. We will give, they say. We will give. This is first. In the first chapter of Acts, a new apostle was chosen. Let's just turn to it for a moment. Acts chapter 1. You'll know this scripture as well, of course. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Verse 23, "They appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed," so there's the prayer, "and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Now you go into the verses 15, we'll not read them all. But for verse 15 to 22, you'll discover that there was preaching. We're told that Peter stood up in their midst. Peter began to preach. So if you think of it, preaching and praying, then they chose disciples who was going to replace Judas. The Lord Jesus, before he called his 12, prayed. And the Lord knew who he was going to choose. He had chosen them from all eternity. We still prayed. That's what we need to do. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do. When you come to call a minister or elect eldership or deacons or whatever, you don't do it, folks, without prayer and without instruction from the Word of God. We read a great text in verse 8 of the first chapter. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Jesus said to do that, you need power. And when you get power, you'll be a witness. That's why men get filled with the Holy Ghost and women. It's to be witnesses for Christ. It's not to sit somewhere in a wee room, an upper room with a handful of people and start to babble in some sort of tongue. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's for the power of God to be a witness for Christ. That's where the failure comes. How could this be done? Do you know, 30 years after Pentecost, it was said of these early disciples, they have turned the world upside down with their doctrine. The known world, the Roman world, changed by a small group because they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they preached and they prayed. Uneducated, untrained fishermen, mainly. And yet they won the world for Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, they preached, 3,000 were saved. In Acts 4, it was 5,000. Then it goes on to talk in Acts 5 about increasing mightily. Campbell Morgan reckoned there were about 250,000 converts after about 6 months. Imagine what would happen, folks, if that came to us. 250,000 people in 6 months evangelized and won for Christ. It's amazing when you think of it. What was their secret? Well, the secret is very straightforward. Acts 6:4, that's the secret. So you pray for your preacher. Your preacher I know prays for you. Trust God and see what God will do with all of this. A problem that was identified, a priority that was indicated, and there's a promise here that was imparted. Here was the promise of these early leaders. A promise that they kept. We will give ourselves. You see, listen, there's work in this, there's effort in this. This is not easy. The flesh doesn't like you to pray. The flesh doesn't like you to sit under the ministry of the Word of God. They don't like it. Flesh rebels against it. But these men made a promise. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, the ministry of the Word. The devil, you know, very much attacked, as we know, the early church. It was old Spurgeon that commented. He said, Satan never kicks a dead horse, but he'll go after the living saint. After chapters 2 and chapter 4, the devil came in chapter 5 like a lion. The apostles were threatened. Like a serpent, there was lying and hypocrisy. Then in chapter 6, the devil comes as the accuser. We're being neglected. You're not carrying out your duties the way you ought to. So when he found that persecution hadn't worked, and corruption hadn't worked, we'll try to get murmuring to work. And we'll murmur. We'll complain. We'll say this, that, and the other thing, just to stir up trouble. But you know, folks, when the Lord Jesus was attacked by the devil in the wilderness, he prayed to the Father. And when the devil came those three occasions, Christ used the scriptures. Deuteronomy, I think chapter 6 and chapter 8. Used the scriptures, not a theological debate or a big discussion. He just used the book, the word, because the word, folks, has power. That's what we need to use against the devil. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Taking the helmet of salvation. You know, that's all we have. We couldn't successfully hold our own with some of these mighty theologians in the liberal wing of God's church. It would be hard for us. We don't have the grasp of Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic and all the rest of it that these people have. But what we do have is salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the devil will misuse Scripture. Remember, a wee man said to me years ago, I was only saved a short time, still in my apprenticeship. And this wee man didn't have much time for the free church, you know. But he's a believer. He said, you know, where you fellas go wrong is that Paul says we're to be at peace with all men. And he said, you fellas aren't at peace with all men. I didn't know the scripture at that time, that particular scripture. But that's not what God's word says at all. It says, as far as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. And let's be honest, folks, doesn't always lie within you, does it? You can't be at peace with the devil or the devil's disciples or the devil's work. If something is wrong, you say it and you stand for righteousness. Take the helmet of salvation. Watching thereunto, you need to watch, you know, keep your eyes open. The devil's busy. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints, that's it. Pray for your brethren. Are we praying always? We ought to be praying often. Isn't this what Paul tells Timothy about praying? He tells Timothy a whole lot of stuff. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Study to show yourself approved to God. Stand fast, Timothy. Read the books. Learn. But then he says this. But Timothy, first of all. Now what is that simply saying? More important than everything else. Give yourself to praying. Isn't that what it says? Supplications, intercession, giving of thanks. Be made for kings, for all in authority. And he writes those little words at the start. First of all. That's it, folks. We need to be doing this first of all. That's the priority. You see, even in how the workers were called in Acts chapter 13. And we're nearly finished. Acts chapter 13. When men were called to the work. What does it say? Acts 13 verse 2. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, God spoke to them as they ministered and prayed. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The two best men in the church at Antioch, called to other service, proven men. As they ministered. You know, that word means more than mere service. We haven't time to do it this morning, but in the book of Exodus, in chapter 28, there's one text, maybe I just will read it very quickly. It's Exodus 28, and it's verse 41. Here's what it says. Exodus 21, verse 41. Listen. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Minister unto me. God spoke again. God speaks when we pray. Priestly service in the tabernacle, among other things, had to do with preaching and praying, the word and prayer. There it comes again. Is it any wonder, brethren, that the early church flourished? Even amidst the trouble they had, the division they had, the problems they had, they flourished. I was reading the story of T.T. Shields, the pastor of Jarvis Street Baptist in Toronto, Canada, called the Spurgeon of Canada. Shields' ministry all those years was like revival. But I was astounded to read in the biography, it's a big thick book, I loved to read it, a great book, that every week this man had serious trouble in the congregation. There was occasions when he only won the vote. Of course, this is the danger with the Baptist setup anyway. But he only won the vote by one vote. The rest of them wanted him out. He stayed on. And while this was all going on, week after week after week, souls were converted in the services. And it's a church of vast numbers. And he kept at it. That's the good secret. He kept at it. He didn't deviate from the truth of the gospel or from the word of God or from praying and getting his people to pray. He stood. The man was vindicated at the end. Is there any wonder the early church measured their converts in thousands? Vast numbers of people because of faithfulness to God and to God's word. I believe that of our churches, and we know we've preached this, and we all believe it. Oh, to see it put into practice would be wonderful. When we really get to pray. I'm old enough to remember those early times. I know we keep harping back, but it's lovely to think back. Days when many, many people were converted. It wasn't a case of, had you anybody saved this week? It was, how many were saved? For days like that again would be a blessing indeed. We'll sing 644, please, to finish. Lovely hymn. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Shall we stand together, sing these lovely words? 644. Everyone. Lord, we thank thee for thy grace today. It is truly amazing. We thank thee for what you did in the days of the apostle. And Lord, you're still the same. No change, Jehovah knows. Will you bless this church here in Ballygowan? Lord, make it an instrument of God in the winning of the lost. Bless this dear folk that gathered here to hear your word. Write your truth in every heart. Lord, go before us as we journey home. Keep your hand upon us for good. In Jesus' name, amen.